The title of the message today is, if you want to walk on water, get out of the boat. Look at your neighbor and say, get out of the boat. Get out of the boat, right? This is the first message, we're kicking off this new series this month entitled Finishing Strong. And I know that you're going to be blessed with the other messages that will come after this. Next week, Pastor Alan will be preaching on what happens on Vegas. What happens in Vegas does not stay in Vegas. So that's going to be a good one, right? And then we're going to have the Global Sunday. Then after that, we're going to have Pastor Ed Montaigne. He's going to preach on living in a material world. You know that song from Madonna, right? Yeah. And the last Sunday, Pastor Abel finished it up with a message entitled Killing the Spider. Am I right? And it's a message about forgiveness. And I know that all of you will be blessed. And the reason why we really want to prepare for the series of messages so that you can really walk closely with God, that's the purpose. We want you to really grow in your faith in Him because, you know, as pastors, we desire to see the congregation not only grow in number, but more so in their walk with God. Amen? So the message again today, if you want to walk on water, get out of the boat. Let me start with this. The Holocaust is one of the terribly traumatic episodes of modern history. Agree? Yet it has also yielded some astounding stories of bravery and faith. In France, a Jewish family were hidden by some concerned French nationals in the basement of their house because when Nazi Germany was coming in and trying to, you know, get all the Jewish families, and this one French family kind of like hid this family that they're friends of, and they were living in the basement for so many years. The Jewish family waited and waited for their deliverance. And at the end of the war, these words were found scribbled on the wall of that basement. And let me read it to you. It said something like this. I believe in the sun, even when it does not shine. I believe in love, even when it is not given. I believe in God, even when He is silent. God's abiding presence is always with us. Whether we feel Him or not, or whether our circumstance or situation in our lives are going the way we want to or not, feelings comes and goes. Do you agree? Life circumstances and situations can change at any moment. Do you agree? But one thing all of us can totally agree, God remains the same. This is why we should never anchor our belief in God based on our feelings alone or the situations or circumstance that happens in our lives. Our faith, trust, and confidence in God should be founded on who He is, that He is omnipresent, meaning that He's everywhere. He is omniscient, meaning that He knows everything, and that He is omnipotent, meaning that He is all-powerful. Our faith in God should also be founded on what He has done, that He has created everything, that He sustains everything. And because of His great love for us, He redeems us from sin through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which we don't deserve, but yet He did it for us. And finally, our faith in God should be founded on what He will do in and through our lives as we totally surrender everything to Him. Only in Him we have hope, purpose, value, and meaning. And His promises to those who believe in Him are for sure and guaranteed. So when things, listen to this when I say this. So when things are not going the way we want to, and doubt starts to creep in, all the more that we need to trust in God's sovereignty. In other words, we need to trust the things that we don't know to the one who knows everything. Just like what that song written by Stephen Curtis Chapman. And you remember Stephen Curtis Chapman? Yeah, okay. Some people. You don't want to say because you don't want to reveal your age, huh? But anyways, Stephen Curtis Chapman, one of the composers, and he wrote this song, and I think it was in a response to what happened to him. And unfortunately, because, you know, the family adopts kids, and I think the child was only 2 years old or somewhere in that age, and accidentally the son of Stephen Curtis Chapman was backing off, and the child walked behind the car and accidentally hit the child, and the child passed away. And in that seemingly tragic situation, the way Stephen Curtis Chapman responded is by writing this song, and the chorus sounds like this. God is God, and I am not. I can only see a part of the picture he is painting. God is God, and I am man. So I will never understand it all, for only God is God. If we are totally surrendered to the truth of who God is, what he has done, and what he will do in and through our lives, then we will find ourselves standing firm in our faith in spite of how we feel at that moment, or while going through a very difficult situation or circumstance in life. And not only that, we will even find ourselves stepping out in faith, in obedience to his word, doing and fulfilling great things for God that we thought we can never do. Today we're going to look at one of the most noticeable and memorable stories in the gospel that has been preached about by numerous pastors and preachers. And hopefully by God's wisdom and grace, you know, we can get some fresh insight from this story that can help us walk in faith and not in doubt. Let's read Matthew 14, verse 22 to 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. Before we go on, let me just give you a quick background. This was after Jesus, I think, fed the 5,000. So this was, you know, they were in the ministry, they were doing ministry with Jesus. And after Jesus fed the 5,000 with the help of the disciples, Jesus said, okay, you know, go ahead of me. I'll dismiss the crowd, go into the boat. Let's start reading in verse 23. After he dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land. Buffeted by the waves because of the wind was against it, shortly before dawn, when Jesus went out to them walking on the lake, the disciples saw him walking on the lake and they were terrified. It is a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Let's bow down our heads and pray. Father, bless your word this morning. Give us ears to hear and a heart to obey what your spirit will say. In Jesus' name, amen. I know that you will agree with me when I say this. Most of the time, it is through terrifying and fearful moments in life that we can learn more about ourselves. And most especially, if we respond the right way, learn more about who God is to help us grow in our faith. How many agree? Right? He allows us to go through experiences in life that the only way to overcome or survive is to totally put our faith and trust in him. That is what happened to Peter and the other disciples in their faith journey with Jesus. There are about 35 recorded miracles in the New Testament done by Jesus, and most of them occurred near the Sea of Galilee. Peter and the other disciples were constantly exposed to the works, wonders, and words of Jesus. And the more that they came to know who Jesus is through their moments with him, the more their faith grew. So the question we need to ask ourselves today is this. What can we learn from Peter's encounter with Jesus the day that he walked on water? When Jesus came to the terrified disciples walking on water, and the disciples thought that he was a ghost, we can see from Peter's response after Jesus told them not to be afraid and reassuring them that it was him, Number one, that Peter recognized Jesus' voice. Amen? Peter recognized Jesus' voice. Again, in verse 27, 28, let me read it to you. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Peter responds in verse 28 when he said, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water," is an indication of his faith in Jesus because he recognized his master's voice. So what can we learn from Peter? As Christians, we need to grow in discernment. How many agree with me? Right? Knowing the voice of Jesus from the other voices that we constantly hear around us, from the voice of the world, the voice of the people that is around us, and even hearing our own voice. How many are tired in hearing your own voice? You know, I'm a pastor. I always preach. I always speak, man. And sometimes when I just hear my own voice all that, I get sick of my own voice, right? And sometimes if we always hear our own voice, and if we are not grounded in God's word, sometimes this can be very deceiving. That may lead us to think that we are hearing from God, but in reality, we are just hearing ourselves. This is why I tell people, especially for those people who want to step out in faith and saying, you know, Pastor Boyd, God called me to do this, you know, and it's a very, you know, insurmountable task. But just to, you know, being a pastor, I just want to kind of like warn them, and I want to make sure that they're really hearing from God. I tell them this in reference to the story. I say something like this. I said, before you decide to get out of the boat and walk on water, make sure that it is Jesus that is calling you. How many say amen to that? Right? Sometimes we are in a position or in a situation in our lives where we are desperate and we think we are hearing from God, but in reality, we're just hearing ourselves. And we want to get out of that situation so quickly. Instead of running to God and hearing His voice, we hear ourselves. It's so uncomfortable. And we say things of faith, but in reality, we just have faith on our faith, but not faith in God. You see, before Peter walked on water, Peter did not say, "Okay, I want to go there. Let me walk on water." No, he said, "Lord, if it is you, can you please command me to come out there?" And the only time that Peter actually stepped out in the boat is when Jesus said what? "Come." So it started with him. Amen? So the second thing that we can learn from Peter's encounter with Jesus is this. Number two, that Peter responded to Jesus' command by faith. Not only did Peter recognize his master's voice, he obeyed his command when Jesus said, "Come." Imagine if you were in Peter's shoes. Okay, excuse me. Imagine if you were in Peter's sandals. I mean, for him to get out of the boat, knowing in his logical mind that they were out in the deep, for earlier in the verses in the Bible says that they were already a considerable distance from the land. So imagine this, if you were Peter. You see, this is not just a raft where you can just put your tippy toes out there and then you'll hit the water. This is a boat. So he had to step out of the boat. The amount of faith for him just to get out of the boat is amazing. Sometimes we kind of like, you know, criticize Peter for lack of faith because his focus was not on Jesus and he started to sing. He's much better than the other 11 disciples. He actually decided to get out of the boat. Right? So I give him props when he did this. So imagine how he felt stepping on water for the first time. Instead of sinking, he was walking. Dude, if I was Peter, man, if I was Peter, I would step out of the boat. I would do a moonwalk right there. It's like, man, you know what I'm saying? That's water, you know, right? Imagine that, like stepping out, and instead of sinking, he was walking. As long as his eyes was on Jesus, he was okay. Peter's faith and trust in Jesus and his commands was demonstrated by his obedience, which opened his life to experience a miracle. Every act of obedience by faith to Jesus' words and commands is a faith-building experience that will help you grow in knowing Him, moving with Him, and living for Him. Obedience plays a big, big factor in us experiencing everything that God has for us. You see, we all have the tools, you know, as far as God is giving us. You know, we already heard from Him through His Word. The people that is encouraging us. But sometimes what's lacking, because we're not really experiencing the things that God wants us to experience, is this one area, obedience. It's easy to hear things, but to do them. Now, that's another story. Now, that speaks about your faith in God. You can sing all the hallelujahs that you can see. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. But if you're not walking in obedience, it's just noise. Amen. I'm not talking about being religious and being legalistic. No, because obedience really is a reflection of our intimate, dynamic relationship with Jesus. Amen. But all of us know that this is not the end of the story. I don't know how many steps Peter took until he lost focus. Instead of looking at Jesus, he started to focus on the waves and the strong winds that caused him to fear, that led to doubt, and he began to sink. We can read in verse 30 to 31, Peter reacted in fear and doubt when his focus was not on Jesus. Now hear me when I say this. The beauty of the Bible in exposing the weakness and the imperfections of Peter when he started to doubt because his focus was on the waves and the strong winds instead of Jesus, check this out, is a reflection of how we are in our own faith journey. All of us can relate with Peter. There are times when we are full of faith and it seems like nothing can move us. But there are times when we allow ourselves to be distracted, deceived, and discouraged because we choose to focus on our problems instead of focusing on our problem solver. But our God is a gracious God. How many say amen, right? And He's merciful. That in every experience in life, whether through times that we showed faith and at times when we doubted and failed, we learn more about who God is. That every time, and even at times when we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. It is in this story Jesus showed His faithfulness to Peter by reaching out to him when Peter cried out for help when he started to sink. I like what Pastor Chuck Swindoll said and his take on this when he said, and I quote, "The beautiful thing about this adventure called faith is that we can count on Him never to leave us astray." Amen. The last thing we can learn from this story is that Peter and the other disciples realized who Jesus is and worshipped Him. In verse 32 and 33, let me read it for you. "And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshipped Him, saying, 'Truly, truly, You are the Son of God.'" If you look at this verse of Scripture, Jesus never refused the worship of His disciples, but openly received it, which shows to us that He was the Son, He was God in the flesh. Remember what I said earlier, that it is in those faith-building experiences that we get to know and realize who Jesus is. And when we realize who we are in light of who He is, we develop a healthy and right view of who God is. And when we go through life's difficult challenges, having a healthy and right view of who God is will help us respond in faith and hope instead of fear and frustration. We will find ourselves not walking away from God, but on bended knees, worshiping at His feet. Amen? Amen. Let's worship Him. Worship needs to be a lifestyle. And it's not because we worship Him because we have to. We worship Him because we want to. And we realize who we are in light of who He is. And having a right view and a healthy view of who God is will bring that to that place that will help us overcome any doubts that may come in our way. Amen? Now let's go to the second part of the sermon, is the life application. As Christians, to overcome doubt by faith, we should, number one, desire to know Him. Look at your neighbor and say, know Him. Know Him. Amen. Insight for living. Look at this one. Then, To intentionally know Jesus through reading the Bible and prayer will help us discern Jesus' voice from other voices that may only distract us, deceive us, or discourage us. As believers in Christ and His Word, we should put the inspired Word of God as the final authority for our life and faith. In doing so, we will find ourselves growing in discerning what's from God and what's not from Him. Especially in our society today, where we are surrounded by different voices, ideas, and opinions. And if we are not grounded in God's Word, we can easily be distracted and hinder us in fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. We can be deceived by ideas and knowledge that may sound good, thinking that it's from God, but in reality, it is not. And we can easily be discouraged because we are not aware of the promises that we have in Him, which is written in His Word. That's why, to me, I know, not only as a pastor, but as a believer in Christ, you know, I want to love God's Word all the more in my life. And I don't do this just for the sake of my quote-unquote religious duties because the pastor asked me to do so, that I need to do my devos and, you know, that will make me look good as a Christian when I have my Bible with me and in Canabrew or Starbucks sitting there and then just doing my devotions. And what I'm saying is this one, you know, there has to be a genuine love for God's Word. You know, the reason why a lot of Christians nowadays, believe me, they're Christians, okay? They're Christians. But they're living defeated lives. And the reason why is not because God did not give them the tools. It's because they're not using it. If you want to hear God's voice, then you need to read His Word and you need to pray. If you want to be familiar in what God promises to you and your family, then you need to read God's Word. You know, sometimes it's victory is just under our noses. It's right there. It's just a matter of knowing it. And the reason why we don't know the promises of God is because we don't know, you know, we don't have that genuine love for His Word. Amen? So we need to really, really, really deep in our hearts to know God through reading His Word. Amen? Hallelujah. So how can we develop a hunger and love for God's Word? The Bible tells us, if you seek me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. God honors our sincere and intentional desire to know Him. I may say amen to that. He honors it, right? If we come to Him in humility and a genuine desire to receive from Him, He is faithful in revealing Himself to us through reading His Word and prayer. And the more that we grow in loving and studying His Word and become faithful in prayer, you will find yourself discerning what's from God and what's not from Him. That will save you from being distracted, deceived, and discouraged. But all of us know that it's not enough to know Him through reading His Word. Now, let me say amen to that. It's not enough, right? Obedience to His Word and His call for our lives is an important response in overcoming doubts. That is why, number two, we need to obey Him. Look at your neighbor and say, obey Him. Amen. Insight for living. To obey Jesus' words and commands and to hold on to His promises is the key to experiencing everything that He has for our lives. I know you'll agree with me when I say this. Peter would have not experienced walking on water if he did not respond in obedience to Jesus' command to come. Right? Let me tell you the story. There was a quarterback in the NFL during the 1970s. I don't know if you're still familiar with his name, but his name is Roger Staubach. Am I pronouncing it right? Did I pronounce it right? Okay, my Filipino tongue did not. Okay, praise God. But Staubach, okay. He led the Dallas Cowboys to the Super Bowl victory in 1971. He admitted that his position as quarterback, who didn't call his own signals, was a source of trial for him. Because the reason why he was not allowed to call his own signal, because his coach is one of the most famous coaches in history, by the name of Coach Landry. Am I pronouncing it right? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Ed. Coach Landry sent in every play. He told Roger when to pass, when to run, and only in emergency situations could he change the play. Even though Roger considered Coach Landry to have a genius mind when it comes to football strategy, his own pride said that he should be able to run his own team. Roger had a decision to make. Would he allow his pride to rule his life and ignore his coach, making himself the star? Or would he listen to the coach and do what he wanted? Roger later said, "I face up to the issues of obedience. Once I learned to obey, there was harmony, fulfillment, and victory," which led them to the 1971 Super Bowl championship. It is our obedience to Jesus' command that we can experience harmony with our Savior, fulfillment in our lives, and victory through different challenges that life may bring. Though sometimes we may not agree with God's way because we think we know better than Him. How many are in that position before, right? We need to submit to the truth that God has a better view of our lives than we do. How many say amen to that? Right? God has a better view of our lives than we do. He knows everything. We don't know everything. He sees everything. We don't see everything. That's why He is trustworthy. And at times that you're frustrated and you feel like, you know, God, why are you allowing the things that you are allowing me to go through? This is the time when you say, God, I put my faith and trust in you. I don't understand, but I'm going to trust you. Because you see, God, you know, us, if you think about it, we only see what's in front of us. But God sees the big picture. That's why He's in a better position to direct and guide our lives. How many say amen to that? Another life lesson we can apply in our lives about overcoming doubt, especially in a time of weakness or failure, I want to listen to this, is to respond by reaching out to Him. Say, look at your neighbor, say, reach out to Him. Insight for living. Even at times, when we lose focus on Jesus and allow fear and doubt to control our reactions, Jesus' hands is always there to lift us up. Amen? We need to learn how to fall forward. If you fall on your back, it is much harder to get up. But if you learn to fall forward, it's much easier to get up when you are on your knees, which is a sign of humility. And when you get up, you are still facing the right direction. A big part in helping us grow stronger in our faith in God is learning to get up where you have fallen. Just like Peter, when he lost focus on Jesus, the first thing that he did when he started to sink was to what? Call on Him. And we can see God's mercy and grace in action when Jesus immediately reached out His hand to lift Peter up. Let me say this to you. When life's trials, tragedies, and situations has caused you to doubt God's goodness, love, and faithfulness, all the more that you should cry out to Him. Pastor Greg Cochell said it best when he said, "Just because God is silent doesn't mean He is absent." The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that He is close to the brokenhearted. Don't allow your feelings at that moment to get the best of you or deceive you. Anchor your faith on the truth of God's word, that His mercies are new every morning and that He is faithful. Amen. His mercies are new every morning. There are times when we do fail. We do fail in looking up to Jesus and really trusting Him in situations in our lives. When those situations happen, we need to respond the way Peter responded by crying out to Him, say, "Lord, save me." Do you know what the Bible tells us? His mercies are new every morning. When you wake up, does the sun still shine? His mercies are new every morning. Every day is a new day. While you are still breathing, there is hope. So please do not give up. Amen? Can you do this with me? See, you're still breathing. Am I right? So there's still hope. So if some of you in this place, kind of like you just want to end it all, please listen to the way you breathe. Life is worth living. Today is a new day. Tomorrow is a promise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lastly is this one. Where am I? Okay, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh, just one side comment. You know, every time a pastor says hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen, it is a sign that they forgot what they're going to say next. So that's why I said that. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen. Amen. And lastly, to overcome doubt, we need to worship Him. Look at your neighbor and say, worship Jesus. Worship Jesus. Amen. Insight for living. As Christians, our grateful respond in realizing who Jesus is through what He has done in and through our life is genuine worship. To position our hearts in a posture of worship, just like what happened to Peter and the disciples when they realized who Jesus is through the works and wonders that He performed. The grateful response was to worship. We need to constantly remind ourselves of who Jesus is, what He has done, and the things that He will do in and through our lives. This is why the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:8, it's going to be on the screen, let me read it for you. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We need to dwell on the thoughts that are true, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy, which is a reflection of who Jesus is. That will cause our hearts and minds to worry less so that we can worship more. Helping us to overcome the doubts and fears in life because our focus is on Jesus. All starts here. We need to really train our minds to think of thoughts that are lovely. Every time I look at my mother-in-law, lovely thoughts. Lovely thoughts. Every time. You're going to treat me, mommy. Treat me. Thank you. It's lunch. Amen. Almost lunchtime, by the way. Praise God. Hallelujah. So think about lovely thoughts. Think about things that are praiseworthy, that are pure, that are excellent. And when that happens, it will really condition your mind to focus on Jesus and you will worship Him. And when you worship Jesus, you will worry less because you're focused more on the problem solver than the problems that you're facing. How many say amen to that? Okay, in conclusion, let me say this to you. Let me tell this story behind one of the most famous hymns written that was composed out of a very tragic event in the life of Horatio Spafford. I don't know if you know him. Tears of and tragedy were not strangers to Horatio. Hopefully I'm pronouncing it right. Horatio. Okay, there you go. A successful lawyer and businessman in Chicago area. He had a lovely family, a wife, Anna, and 5 children. Their young son, check this out, died with pneumonia in 1871. And in the same year, much of their business was lost in the Great Chicago Fire. Yet God, in His mercy and kindness, allowed the business to flourish once more. On November 21, 1873, the French ocean liner Villiers du Havre, I don't know if I pronounce it. You have to forgive me, I'm not French, you know. I only know is merci. Okay. All right. So that's the name of the ocean liner. Was crossing the Atlantic from the United States to Europe with 313 passengers on board. Among the passengers were Mrs. Spafford and their 4 daughters, anticipating a wonderful holiday. Although Mr. Spafford had planned to go with his family, he stayed in Chicago to help solve an unexpected business problem. He told his wife that he would join her and their children in Europe a few days later. After 4 days into the crossing of the Atlantic, the boat that they were in collided with a powerful iron-hulled Scottish ship. Suddenly, all those on board were in grave danger. Anna Spafford hurriedly brought her 4 children to the deck. She knelt there with Annie, Margaret Lee, Bessie, and Tanetta and prayed to God would spare them. With about 12 minutes, the boat sank, almost severed during the collision, slipped beneath the dark waters of the Atlantic, carrying with it 226 of its passengers who passed away. Included in that number were the 4 Spafford daughters that passed away. A sailor rowing a small boat over the spot where the ship went down, spotted a woman floating on a piece of wreckage. It was Anne Spafford, the mother, and she was still alive. He pulled her into the boat, and they were picked up by other vessels which passed by. 9 days later, they landed on land. From there, she wired her husband a message that began, "Saved alone, what shall I do? Saved alone, what shall I do?" Mr. Spafford later framed that telegram and placed it in his office. Another of the ship survivors, Pastor Wise, later recalled Anna Spafford saying this after she lost her daughter. And look what Anna Spafford said. "God gave me 4 daughters. Now they have been taken away from me. Someday, I will understand why." Mr. Horatio Spafford booked passage on the next available ship and left to join his grieving wife. With the ship about 4 days out, the captain called Spafford to his cabin and told him that they were over the place where his children went down. So while they were passing the place where the ship sank and the daughters passed, while Mr. Spafford was there, he wrote this song. "It is well with my soul." While on this journey, he said, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Horatio and his wife Anne did not allow the tragedies that they have experienced in their life to doubt God's goodness, love, and faithfulness. Instead, they turned their tragedy into a triumph when they chose to trust in God and responded by composing a song of hope that today, up to this day, 2018, is still being sung in worship services and funerals that brings encouragement, peace, and hope to all those who believe. I want to show you a picture with a quote that says, this is from, that's Horatio right there. And he said something like this after that. "I am glad to be able to trust my Lord when it costs me something." If you are here today and are going through a very challenging situation in your life that is causing you to doubt the goodness, love, and faithfulness of God, please do not give up. Keep on believing in Jesus. And trust what you don't know and understand to the one who knows everything and to the one who is in control. I know we don't know what the future holds for us, but one thing I do know, I know the one who holds my future. And times when we don't understand, this is the time when Jesus is asking us to come and step out of our boats and to focus our eyes on Him and walk on water, to do the things that is difficult for man to do, because if man will just do it by himself, he will fall and fail. But with our eyes focused on Jesus, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. That you will not give up when things are not going your way, that you will not get mad at God, but you will choose to trust in Him. Believe me when I say this, being angry with God will not do you any good. It is like hitting a wall. Who gets hurt, the wall or you? You. God is faithful. And He loves us. I don't know where you are today. We can put a smile on your face, in our faces this morning. But all of us know, we are all in the same boat of life. When I say we're on the same boat, meaning that all of us will go through something. One is not better than the other. I don't care if you're the richest person in the world or you're the poorest person in the world. All of us will go through situations in life. And our response to God in faith will be determined in our intimate relationship with Him. And by His grace, if we just surrender everything to Him, we will find ourselves getting out of the boat, walking on water, doing things that we never thought we can never do, overcoming things that we thought that we can never overcome. And at the end of it all, giving glory to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Horatio's song, because of his obedience to Jesus, up to this day, his voice still speaks to us today. 1873, 2018, we still sing the same song that brings comfort to people. Is it worth following Jesus in the most difficult times in your life? Yes. Because you don't know the blessings that will, that God will flow in and through your life through your act of obedience and act of faith. The people that you will encourage. Amen. Can we all stand up at this moment, at this time? And as we sing this song, I don't know what you're going through. This is just between you and God. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what challenges you are. Maybe you have kids that are not in the faith and it's just causing you pain and sorrow in your life. Maybe you're facing a financial situation where you don't know if you have a home tomorrow, or you don't know, you've been believing God for certain things but yet it's not yet there. And you just need that extra push, a change of mindset. Instead of looking at your situation, you look at the Savior and say, God, you are in control. I may not understand everything, but one thing I do know is that you know everything. And if you know everything, you can take care of all the things that I need. Help me just to trust in you. I don't know where you are, but if that is you, can you just lift up your hands right now and say, God, just as we sing this song, just lift up your hands as high as you can. Everybody in the room. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing this song by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders.
Come on, come on.
Let me walk upon the waters. Ooh. Wherever you
come on, sing it to
me.
Sing it to
me.
Come on, come on.
Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
Let's sing it for the last time. Last time. Spirit, lead me
where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. And take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just between you and God, let me make this first call. If you are here today and you just realize that you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and the starting point of having faith is to put your faith and trust in Jesus for your salvation. Maybe Jesus to you right now is just a religion, a church that you go to. Something to make you feel good on Sunday, but on Monday to Saturday, you're on your own. And if you are here today and the Spirit of God is touching your heart, and if you have not given your life to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you want to make that commitment this afternoon. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just between you and God. And if that is you, I'm the only one looking. If you want to give your life to Christ, can you just quickly raise up your hand so I can pray for you? Anybody? Anyway, thank you. Want to give your life to Jesus? Thank you. There's a hand right here. There you go. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just lift up your hands. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Lift up your hands. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Just lift up your hands as high as you can so I can see it. If you want to give your life to Christ, just lift up your hands as high as you can so I can pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For that person who, or those people who have lifted up their hands, pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you right now, just as I am, a sinner needing a Savior. And I ask you today, come into my life. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my Master. Please forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus is you are Lord, and believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, and you said in your word, ye shall be saved. I repent of all my sins, and I come before you just as I am. Change me to be more like you, for your glory and for your name's sake. Jesus, thank you. Hallelujah. Before we close, can we just lift up our hands once again? Let me just pray for us. Father, we come before you. Lord, let first and foremost, we want to know you more. Let there be a greater desire and a love for your word. That we will love your word. That we will want to know you. We will love to pray because we want to get to know you. So we will know your voice from the other voices that is around us. Secondly, Father, give us the grace to obey you in every way. Give us the grace to really follow you and serve you and to do whatever you want. Give us that we cannot do it on our own strength. Give us the grace to do so. Thirdly, Father, help us to always reach out to you. Every time that we fall or fail, Lord, that our initial reaction is to repent and reach out to you. Give us the grace to do so, Lord. And lastly, Lord, that every day of our lives as a congregation and individually in our own homes and in our families, help us to live a life of worship. That we will worship you with all our hearts and our minds because we know who you are. You have revealed yourself to us in ways that we can never imagine, and we thank you for that. May we never forget our time with you. Lord, we love you, Father. Give us the grace and the strength that individually and as a congregation, we will not live in doubt, but we will walk by faith. We love you and we thank you. And all those people who are in love with Jesus will say, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah.